thank you that we, Lord, can come together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, you minister to us as we just minister to you. As we, Lord, are open to you, Lord, we can receive. As we, Lord, hear your word, Lord, you can quicken our mind and our hearts. So this morning, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the things you're going to do, the way you're going to work in our lives, the way you're going to just change us, transform us, empower us, Lord, through your word, through your thoughts, through your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been starting to share with you about the topic I was speaking at the convention. You know, and I related just after I came back to the convention how this report came up from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada about the condition of the church in Canada especially, but this is true in all North America in reality. You know, there is the statistics don't look too good. But in reality, didn't quite fit to the convention that I was speaking because there it looks pretty good. I mean, you see, there is a difference between the places where the Holy Spirit works and the places where traditions and all the other stuff is operating and men don't believe anything, you know, and so there is a big difference there, you know, and the basis is in the belief systems of people, you know. But the statistics, you know, if you look, are pretty bad in so many different areas, okay? I mean, churches are actually closing down all over North America. You can get churches for almost nothing because they're closing down. There is nobody, you know, they have 5,000 people church and nobody inside. You can get them for nothing. Now, that's a bad indication, but that's the truth, you know. And ministers are giving up because and falling in all kind of doctrinal error, sins, and even adultery, homosexuality. I mean, you just said, mention it. These are ministers. You know, it's really sad to see something like that happening. You know, pornography is rampant, even with ministers. You say, you know, what's, you know, premarital sex? You know, you see statistics, you know, Christian or no Christians, the same. Divorce rate, the same. You know, people don't believe in the resurrection. Well, that's one of the starting points. Okay, they don't believe the basic truth, the power of God. You know, then Paul said, you know, you're still in your sins. You know, the other religions are spreading faster, you know, but as I said before, okay, this is nothing that we should be surprised of. Okay, we have to really realize the time we are in, you know, and that there is, we have to expect that to take place in the time. You know, if we just look at, the prophecies in the Bible, we can see that this is what was going to happen. Say for example, takes one, you know, in 2 Thessalonians. Let's go there a moment. Let me see, I don't want to read the whole thing here. Don't like that. I'm going not to read this. I'm going to move on instead of that. Really, you know, the time we are in is indicating one thing to us. Okay. And what is indicating to us that the Lord coming is getting closer than as ever before. You know, if you look at the prophecies, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, many of the things that have been prophesied have come to pass. Some of the evidences is this falling away. Okay, that is, so you say, well, you know, there have been problems all the time. Yes, there have been problems all the time, but now the problems are changed. There are some things that are actually new that weren't there before. And one of the major new things that was, you know, is not so recent, but is still not long ago, is the fact that Israel, the state of Israel, been put together again. Okay, that is one of the time frame parameters that we have to look at. But it's not the only thing that, you know, if you look, you know, I really think the most interesting and the most powerful prophecy that was given is the one that given in Daniel chapter 4, I think. 12, sorry, verse 4. You know, it says, you know, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time to the end. Many shall run through and fro, and knowledge will increase. You know, this is one of the factors that has completely changed, you know, in the last decade. There is more knowledge, more information, more progress in many different areas at this time that has been for centuries before. You know, if I go back my own life, the changes that took place from, when, say, for example, when I was studying at university to today is unbelievable. You know, I remember taking courses when I was at the university in Italy and learning to work with computers. And there was a IBM computer there that took a room just as big as this. Needed about $1,000 a day of electricity to run, and was smaller than the Commodore 64 when my children were growing up. Not many years after. When I was doing research at the university, you know, the main computer that I was working with, and I was doing calculations there, because that was my type of work that I was doing, you know, and later run throughout the night, had not the power of my laptop computers today. This is, you know, what, and things have changed so much in the last 2 years, four, 5 years maximum, you know, that is unbelievable what your smartphone can do compared to a computer years ago, not long ago. Okay, and this is nothing. I mean, we have seen just the beginning of the change. They talk now about, well, they have now, my grandson, he wants to buy for himself a 3D printer. You know, a 3D printer, what they can do, it can essentially build pieces of equipment out of plastic that you design in the computer. You know, you do a model and it builds it up. It can build, you know, it can build, for example, there are available programs to build a gun so that you can actually make a gun kind of plastic that shoots, you know, bullets for real. And has the advantage that you can take it in through to the, you know, places where they detect metals, because it's not metal, it's plastic. They have developed what they call bioprinters. A bioprinter, what it does is to actually develop tissue, organic tissues, living organic tissue, according to the programming you put inside. using stem cell. I mean, knowledge will increase? Absolutely. I mean, you could not even think about some things 2 years ago that happened today. You know, things that were used for the military up to recently, now farmers are going to be using drones to cultivate, to look after their own farms, to the land, and so on. You know, and doesn't cost much. You can buy one of those drones for about $1,000. I mean, talking about the change, you know, but the fact is, okay, this is technology, but the fact is technology has an impact on the life of people. What you can do today, you cannot do 2 years ago. And you couldn't even dream about it 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. What I'm saying is things are changing so much and so fast that if there is a time in which that prophecy would fulfill, you know, is now. You know, clearly, really, things have evolved in such a fast pace that really, that's the only time in all history that we can say that the prophecy of Daniel will really be fulfilled. And so we had to realize that this is, and he was saying there, that this is to keep that, the understanding of that prophecy, hidden or closed until the time, the time of the end. Now we can see and understand that prophecy. This is what our prophecy should be used. And so if we can understand it, then we can see that it's not closed anymore. We can start seeing what it means because we see it in front of our own eyes. There are some implications for us as believers. There are some things that we need to understand. You know, what does it really mean? Because, you know, in one side, we can see that things are accelerating and the time of Jesus coming evidently is approaching. What does it mean for us as believers? What impacts can have, not just, you know, you can look at the world and go with it, or you can say, okay, but wait a minute, you know, one of the things that Jesus warned us is warn about us to look and see the signs of the time. Because they have an impact, we have to have an understanding, we have to respond to what's going on, we can just live in isolation. We have to be ready. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, 10 of them were just not knowing what we are doing, and 10 of them were ready for it. Well, the point is we had to be ready for the time when it comes. And to be ready, there is a question of being prepared for that. There are things that we had to do ourselves to be able to be ready when it comes. And it's not going to be coming just, you know, announcing it before. It's going to happen. So we had to get, you know, now, if we, you know, what the church is doing is locking off. Is really, you know, I was listening to somebody on the internet, a pastor from Pennsylvania. He says, oh, you know, last Sunday was sunny. And, you know, when it's sunny, nobody comes to church because they had to go for a ride. So, you know, and he was saying, you know, the reason is why they do not understand why people should go to church. Why it's important for people to go to church regularly. I think I clicked that on my Facebook so that people can read it. But, you know, it was a blog, or there was also a short video. Anyway, but what I'm saying to this is, you know, that this is a widespread lack of responding to the situation in a way that is going to produce the right results. You see, this is why the decay is coming, because, you know, people see all these things happening. Number one, get distracted. Number two, the church doesn't do the job they should be doing about preparing people to deal with these things. You see, they try, you know, there is a lot of stuff going there, lots of things that the church is doing that is not keeping up with the time. And one of the things that is done wrong is the fact that they are trying to communicate to them, be at the level, you know, pastors are not scientists. Okay, and they try to talk about science when they don't have a clue of what's about. And this is a big mistake. And I can see that because, you know, I was a scientist and I, you know, I'm not now on, informed completely of what's going on, but I understand enough about this stuff that I, when I hear them talking, you know, I shake my head and say, you know, better don't say anything because this is not accurate. See, don't try to say stuff that you are not qualified for. Okay, because it doesn't produce the results that you think you're going to produce. You're not going to convince people that are more informed than you are about this stuff. What we have to do and what we should be doing and we are not doing enough is the fact that instead of using logic and philosophy, we have to use the power of the Holy Spirit to convince people. You see, this is what was done at the beginning. You see, that's what Jesus said. That's the way that we should operate. You know, wait in Jerusalem until, you know, the Holy Spirit comes from you. You shall be endued with power. You see, I mean, you can do 1,000 reasoning and philosophy to people and doesn't convince you because anybody because they probably know more about the stuff that you're talking about. Or you're putting yourself at their level. It's not at their level that you have to operate. You have to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit because that's what they need to be broken through. See, it's God's power that is going to draw them. It's not you reasoning because it's you. And when we understand that, we don't waste our time doing things that they don't matter anyway. Developing theories and philosophies and things that really have no consequence. But we had to, you know, allow God to do the work that he wants to do and he is going to use us to do it. Yes. See, he needs to work through do that through people. He just didn't set the captive free in Egypt by themselves. And Moses had to say, yes, I'm going to go through. And he operated in that way as a prophet of God and brought the message and brought them out. See, that's the only way. He couldn't have done it any other way. And so, and nothing has changed. You see, God's way do not change. And that's one of the things, where, you know, the belief that we had to have do not change. You see, our beliefs are not based on the world. It's not based on scientific knowledge. Because scientific knowledge is limited. It's depending on our experience. And we cannot experience in the physical the truth. You know, I want to say something else because any progress that happened in science is not achieved by logic. Okay? It's always achieved by intuition. Okay? You don't discover something new logically. You discover it because you got the idea and it's coming from someplace. Anybody that is a scientist would tell you that. The other ones are just accountants in science. You know, they're people that look at the numbers. You know, they can produce numbers. They can measure things, but that's not creativity. You see, any new idea, it comes from creation. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes progress. See, but all truth is parallel. You know, it's the same thing spiritually. You know, any progress that happens to us spiritually happens because God revealed it to us. Any progress that you make personally is not because of the effort you make, it's because you get in contact with God and God, Holy Spirit, gives to you. You can't pull yourself up to God. It's God that pull you up to Him. See, when we understand that, we start cooperating with God, realizing, you know, that He is the source of everything we have. He's the one that gives us the breakthroughs. And when there are breakthroughs in the knowledge, in the world, there are also breakthroughs spiritually. See, that it's a strange thing the way it happens. You know, it's a strange thing the way the world works. And I think some people in science are starting to catch up that. They start realizing that, things, the way progress happens is not by chance. There is a timetable according to which things develop. You know? I better go back to my notes, but that's okay. These timetables take place in God's plan according to His idea of things, the way that things are going to develop. So, you know, and we don't know. Nobody knows the time, Jesus said, about when is the time is going to be. But, we can figure out that we are really close now. And if we are really close, we have to do something to get ready for it. Not to slack off, not to allow to be distracted by all these other things that are happening, because these other things are going to take our attention. You know, there are so many things attracting the attention of people today to not to go to church. I mean, and they do not realize that really they miss the most important part, because they miss what is as the priority, should be a priority for them. You know? Soccer games or the kicks on Sunday morning or hockey games or some of the other thing, all the sports stuff interfering. You know, after you can enjoy the game, but after the game what happens? That's right. In another game, till you cannot play anymore, and then you are there watching games. Sorry, I never get turned off on by this stuff, but, you know, when I was young, so I am different. But, you know, the point is, what I'm trying to say to you is that we have to realize that we have to establish priorities in our lives. And see where we put our time and our energy and our focus. Because there are consequences in our life that are going to take place because of our choices. When we realize that some things are going to make a difference in our life. When you realize that when you are close to God, you are happier, number one. You are protected. You are taken care of. You are not moved and tossed around like everybody else. Well, you know, that should be a good enough reason not to get distracted and to keep your focus in the right thing, because, if you don't get these things, your life is not going to be the same. Now, you know, what I'm saying is, we had to realize what's happening. We realize the times we are in and see and try to connect with that what's happening in the right way. Not by being distracted by these things, but be more motivated to be closer to God. to be more motivated, to be focusing on the right thing, to establish priorities, because it's so much more difficult today to keep your focus in the right thing, because you know, there are so many distractions around. And, you know, we are human, and when there is something that is a bit even interesting, we are sucked in, and we end up wasting our time. And we are not preparing ourselves, or we are not doing the things that God calls us to do, so that we are not connected with God's power. You know, you can be doing even good works, but, you know, it is not connected with God's power. You are wasting your time. So we have to realize that it's important, the decision we make. We have to realize that, you know, what God said to us in the Scripture should be our guidance for the choices we make. We shouldn't go by just reacting to the world around and being taken by that, but we should assess the things we see in the world with eyes that are open through the Word of God, so that guides us in the choices we make. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is the problem, that we, you know, one of the things that is missing is the fact that people do not connect with the Holy Spirit the way they should, and they try to do it in their own strength, even the church. So as a result of that, there is not the power, the direction, the anointing of doing, of achieving the results that God calls us to have. This is the reason why the statistics that I was mentioning before are the way they are. It's because there is not a connection. You know, there is Christianity has become a philosophy, a good way of thinking. And that's why the outreach or the evangelism that is done is not effective, because even the people that are doing it, they don't even believe what they're saying. They don't even believe in the power of the resurrection. They don't even believe the fact that people can be transformed, not by what they say or their philosophy, but by the power of God. That God performs miracles today just as well as 2,000 years ago through Jesus. And that we should operate exactly on the same way that he did then. See, nothing is changed spiritually. God does not change. When we realize that, then we realize that we have to be conscious of what's going on, but at the same time, we have to use the same principle that we used before. What was good for Jesus is good for us. Don't try to outsmart God. It's not going to work. It's foolish. It's a sign of lack of understanding the way God is. Are you following me? So what we want to do, you see, ourselves, and this is true for each person. You see, there is no difference. It's not a question of, you know, somebody being a minister or some, you know. We are all called by God to be his representative. And the Holy Spirit works for the same for everybody. You don't need to be ordained, called reverend, or whatever. You see, that's the problem. That's what happened. People is giving importance to things that are not important, instead of depending on the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them to do the things that Jesus did on earth. See, that's the difference. That's what makes the impact that otherwise is not there. That's what brings about, you know, the effect of the church actually growing. You know, you can use methods of the world to put up a club or an association and be very effective. The point is you get an association that has no power inside, is just nothing else than a bunch of people in an organization like any others. And that's unfortunately what many denominations are today. So using man's philosophy instead of the power of God. Or you can have the Holy Spirit guiding and anointing the work, and then you get the results that the Holy Spirit wants to produce, and is not necessarily so popular as the other way, because it doesn't appeal to the flesh. So you have to see what's going on. And you have to respond to what God wants to do. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, people don't believe anymore in the ministry, even in people in the ministry, is the resurrection, for example. I mean, just do a statistics. I can't remember the statistics, but the statistics of minister believing in the resurrection, the percentage is really low. Low. Very low. I can't remember. What's the number? Do you remember, Pete?
It dropped 30 percentage points in the last
10
years.
How much was 50? I think that's far too much. Yeah. Ouch. Well, that's right. So that shows really, you know, why those statistics for in the other area are the way they are. Okay. Paul said it very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, that if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is vain, you are still in your sins, and you're going to go to hell. Because you are not forgiven of anything. So, you know, what I'm saying to you is, you know, we have to be really careful about what we really are exposed to and what we believe. And there are consequences, and some of the consequences is the impact that are practically on the choices we make in our life. The priorities we give. I mean, if one doesn't believe those things, why should they go to church? I mean, just for tradition? See, but so in a way, it's good what is happening, because what is happening is cleaning up the church. All right? It's something that's to happen. And this is, you know, according to the prophecy that I read even last week, you know, that God saying that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You see, and he's shaking what? He's shaking the things that are temporary or the things that are not permanent. And the things that are permanent, what are the things that are permanent? The things that are permanent are the things that God's principles, God's truth. God's truth doesn't change with time. Maybe our understanding increases, hopefully. You see, I believe that this is actually happening even today. You see, what's happening with the separation between the truth and the false, you know, all the God's truth doesn't change, but there is a better understanding in the people that understand something, a better communion with God, and has to happen because this is the indication, that's another indication that we are getting close to the end. Because at the end time, one of the manifestations is a church with power. And the church is going to have power not just because they're trying to make it up, but it's because they have understanding. Is the understanding that makes the difference. It's not just being religious or following some formulas or following or, you know, going blindly to certain ceremonies. It's not the ceremony, it's the power. The power is in the presence of the Holy Spirit working within us. You know, and it's that what believers should learn to come in contact with and to allow to work in their life. And not just, the power of the Holy Spirit is just to be excited on everything else, because, you know, you go in a rock concert, they're even more excited than we are. That's not it. The power of the Holy Spirit is when you can go to somebody that is lame, grab him for the hand, pull him up and say, in Jesus' name, stand up and walk. It happens. You know, that's what converts people. That's what, you know, and even if you do that, you know, they'll say, oh, well, this is made up. Why? Because they cannot believe. Because their eyes are closed, their mind is locked. You know, they cannot accept the truth. And because they cannot accept the truth, they're going to find excuses to reject it. But you know, some people are going to respond. Some people are going to open up. And that's the only way to open up. You see, it's the heart that has to be opened up. It's not the mind and your philosophy that are going to convince them. This is where they get the power enough to overcome sin in their life. Otherwise, the desire to do the wrong thing, because they're used to do them, are going to be stronger than the logical thinking at the moment. They can even agree with you, you know, but when it comes to the time when there is the temptation is stronger than the logic. See, that the thing, you know, take a couple of scriptures here. 2 Peter. Okay, let me see. Second Peter, chapter 3. And verse 3 says there, know this, first of all, in the last day mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lust. You see, the problem is, or their own desire, or their own ideas, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the Father fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning of creation. See, that's one of the things that happens today. I mean, not many believe in the second coming. If you don't believe in the resurrection, how can you believe in the second coming? See, that's what happened there. You know, when he says, you know, as Jesus went up and the angel said, the way he went up is going to come down. But, you know, it doesn't make sense to somebody that is trying to figure it out with logic. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by water. Through which, you need the scripture? You know, it's verse 6, 2 Peter chapter 3, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for the fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Well, that's why it's a different translation. Beloved, that which the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but his patience toward you, not wishing any of you to perish, the torch you come to repentance. See, the idea is that God wants as many as possible, not just to be having a label of being a Christian. Because the label of being a Christian doesn't do it. He wants people that actually come to the place where they are set free. They come to repentance. They come to be turned around. They come to be open to God. They're going to have a relationship with him. You know, and so all the one that don't have a relationship with him, but they just belong into the club of Christianity, well, are falling off. And what we see is that the appearances that were before there were just appearances. But there was no real conviction of their heart. There was no real transformation. And so instead of, this shouldn't be something that make us sad or depressed. It should be something that gets us excited in the sense that say, something is happening and Jesus is coming. And what are we going to do about it? Okay, this is something that we had to respond in the right way instead of, being negative and trying to go to have some other philosophical tricks to get people in. It's not going to work. It's the question is going back to God's principles and allow God's principle to guide us to victory, to give us the ability to reach people's heart instead of their minds. And verse 10 says there, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heaven will pass away and roar and so on and so forth. So, you know, the time is coming. And it's coming before we even, you know, we don't know when it's going to be coming, but we had to be ready. Like those virgins that had kept their oil in their lamp. You see, that's an important thing for us to do, is that to keep the Holy Spirit working within us to guide us and to empower us. And not to get distracted by all these other things. To realize that these other things are an indication of where we are moving toward. You know, it's so easy for everybody to get busy, even doing good things, and to miss the actual connection with God because you are doing things for God. You know, you can get so busy about doing good things, good works, doing ministry, that you actually don't have the time to connect with God yourself and receive the things you need. Now, it's true for lots of pastors, for example, because there are so many things to do. And unless you really make a conscious decision of your priorities and you spend the time in the right way, you end up being caught up into lots of good works that are nothing else but good dead works. So we have to learn about this before so that we are ready. And we have to learn about this in such a way that we have become effective now instead of just getting spread thin about doing so many things that are really not producing any results really in the spirit world. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you think it's right? So we have to really understand the importance of the thing we focus on, the importance of the thing that we have to put our energy, our priorities for. You know, the scripture I read last week, I want to read it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we better focus up our effort, our priorities should be on eternal things, not on physical things. We are here temporarily, no matter what, anyway. So we shouldn't be so caught up by the things that are temporary, that are going to change and pass anyway. But instead, you know, we should connect with God so that we have these eternal things keeping us going forever. Because, you know, like it or not, they're going to stay with you forever. Or not staying with you forever. According to the choice you make. Now, you know, to me, this is not a scary or depressing topic. This is an exciting topic. You know, for somebody that doesn't know God, that should be scary. Because, you know, what's going to happen next? But for somebody that knows God, you know, this is the most exciting thing that you can think of, you know. The Lord is coming back. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Absolutely. You see, there is no fear. We should have no fear of these things. We should not have fear of what's going to happen next. We know that God is for us. Or at least, you know, you should know that God is for you. And if you have any doubt, fix the doubt. Because the only thing you have to do is to open up. And you know, you should know what to do about it. You shouldn't stay there. You can do something. I mean, that put us in a position of advantage, respect to everybody. And the only thing that can stop is yourself. Because God is certainly not going to stop it. He says, come. Open up. I'm wanting to have a relationship with you. I wanted to. See, this is why it's so important. You know, Jesus' Great Commission, really, the only way to fulfill that is not by trying to get people in the church. Because you can get everybody in the church and nobody's really changed and transformed and saved. The only way to fulfill the Great Commission is to make disciples. I mean, people that are open to God, open to Jesus, following Jesus, and they become having that relationship with Him that makes a difference in their life. But not only that, but makes them able to reach out to others, because one of the characteristics of a disciple is the fact that they are going to reach out to other people. They're going to be fishers of men. See, that's what is the indication that somebody is having a relationship with God. That God moves in them to do the things that He wants to do with others and uses you. So no matter where you are, you know, you are responding to the anointing of God put in you to actually do the same thing that Jesus did, is to minister to others, to become fishers of men. That's the indication that the change took place. And it's not just a formula. It's a question of creating disciples. It's not just a question of, you know, saying some things or saying a prayer or whatever. It's a question of transforming their heart. Pray. Praise the Lord. Well, time went fly. But you see, when we start making that connection, things start to happen in our life. In terms of the decision that, you know, the priorities we have, the decisions we make, the power that is manifested in our life, the victories, the protection, the God's promises becoming a reality to us instead of being something far away. But you see, it has to be the center. And when that happens, you see, there is a release of God's power and anointing inside us to give us victory, you know, in areas that are going to surprise us even, because they are not according to even what we think, is according to what He is doing. He is the head of the church, not us. He is the one, it is His body, it is not under our ideas, is under His ideas. And the very moment when we get our ideas in the way, they become a hindrance to God doing the things that He wants to do. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the Great Commission is important. But it starts with us. See, we have to be disciples. It starts with us. We have to be open to do it. And it's not just a question of going through certain ritual or certain formula. It's the question of understanding, having that relationship with God that makes us become different. It's time. that makes us become different. That empowers us and gives us the victory. Amen. Well, close for today. And we just pray that God give us the vision that Jesus had when He left, so that we can embrace His vision, not our ideas, and become the channels of what He wants to do according to these ideas, according to the Holy Spirit, so that we become able to operate according to the Holy Spirit and not the ideas of men. Father, thank You. Thank You that, Lord, we know that You care about each one of us. And there is more in being a follower of Jesus than going through ritual and formalities in churches. Church is an important part, Lord, because this is where we come together. And many things take places when we come together. But Lord, church is Your body. And it's not just on Sunday morning. It's every day of the week, every moment of the day. And we, Lord, wherever we are part of Your body to do the work that You do, Lord, and You want to do in the world. Help us, Lord, to be connected with You so that we can say, Lord, that we have not been distracted by the things around us, but we are open to be used by You to do the work that needs to be done in this last day before Your coming. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.